we're so used to seeing things that, in my opinion, aren't quite right in our treatments of animals.
Yeah, the less we eat, the less violence is being done, and the less destruction to the environment.
Everyone eats, and everyone has to make a moral decision every time that we sit down to the table.
Welcome to the Animal Voices Show, Canada's only radio show and podcast on animal advocacy and compassionate living. This is CFRO 100.5 FM on Friday, July 13th, 2018. For the next hour, I'm your host, Jen Dobell, and I'm joined in studio today by my co-host, Allison Cole.
Hi there.
Carol McIntosh.
Hello.
And our live musical guest, Tom Cole.
Hi.
And you may have seen Tom busking in the downtown Vancouver area over the years. Thanks for being on the show today, Tom. It's really exciting to have a live guest.
Thank you.
So I'm dedicating this show to Vincent, who is a young activist from Victoria. He recently spoke out against the dairy industry and received a little bit of backlash. So we love you, Vincent. We need young people like you in the world, and this show is for you. Today's show focuses on two topics, the deceptive and often inappropriately placed advertising by the dairy and egg industry in schools and medical offices, and a breaking news story about cruelty in the pig transport industry. We'll speak with animal rights lawyer Anna Pippis on what you can do to combat misleading advertising, and then we'll speak with activist Kira Blaze on the video she took of pigs suffering on a Kamloops transport truck taking them to slaughter. Stay tuned for those interviews throughout the hour. And now, there's some news that's buzzing all over social media right now, the new Beyond Burger that is at A&W. So let's talk about that. Who's tried it?
I have not. I passed by it the other day. It's a couple blocks from my place, and I pass by it all the time. I never notice it, and I noticed this huge sign. It said Beyond Meat Burger on their door. I took a picture of it. I thought that was impressive. And little did I know that fast food burgers have really gone up in price since the last time I had one in maybe the 1990s. But Jen, you were able to try it. What did you think?
Yeah, well, I wasn't impressed with the $7 price tag. And really, I only tried it so I can recommend it to others because I don't like to eat fast food.
Research.
Yeah, it was research. 7,000 calories or something for research.
Dedication. It says 500 calories on the picture.
Okay, I should have had a bite and thrown it away, honestly. But no, it was really good. And I think it looks so close to meat that I was questioning whether they gave me the right one. But I do know that flavor of the Beyond Burger. So yes, it was the right meal they gave me. My only concern was how it was being cooked. So I had a discussion with them about cleaning the grill, which was very complicated, long discussion, and I almost walked out. But it's, like I said, not something I would always get, but I do think that it's really good, and it's something that people are going to be getting. And I looked around the restaurant, and you can see on the wrappers what kind of burger people are eating, and 90% of the people in the restaurant were eating it.
I really do hope, though, that they make it a fully vegan burger, because they're so close to it. Mm-hmm. It is a plant-based, the burger itself is vegan. The way that they cook it is questionable because, you know, they might be cooking it in meat juices. Mm-hmm. And then the sauces they use are not vegan. So please, you know, bring some Hellman's vegan mayo. That's very, very common and easy to get. And I hope to go in there and have a discussion with the manager about that. But last night I popped in and I asked for some research. I said, do you cook it on the same grill as the meat? And she said, yes, but we clean it. So I mean, that it's really up to vegans if they want that. But mostly, it's promoting vegan options into the mainstream, and I think that's just huge. I heard a story this week that on their first couple days of selling this week, they doubled the amount that they sold of regular meat burgers, of the Beyond Burger.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
So they had twice as many Beyond Burgers sold as meat burgers?
Yeah, and this was at one branch in the Lower Mainland. That's
right.
Someone reported on, and they heard someone say that. I think that's just incredible. It's incredible.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I think I've had it at home. I haven't had it at A&W. I don't favor the A&W, but I do commend them for trying this out. I think for the animals, it doesn't matter if it's cooked on the same grill. For people that are eating it, might be grossed out,
mm-hmm.
but like I would be, but I was actually kind of grossed out by the Beyond Burger because it was so meat-like.
Yeah, and I want to say for people who have enjoyed eating meat their whole lives, like many of us did, it tastes really just like meat. Yeah. That's why I don't prefer it. I would prefer actually a veggie burger that's made with, you can taste vegetables. Right. But I've seen online, there's so many people who like people miss meat, the taste of meat. Yeah. And this is healthier for you. It doesn't kill animals. And it's a great substitute, and may all burgers be as accessible as this one. Like this, like A&Ws are everywhere. So all of the other fast food places are now going to have to follow suit to compete with their competitors.
Yeah, they're watching closely, I'm sure.
I think it'll be coming to McDonald's.
Well, I just want to say that my social media was flooded with either vegans eating the Beyond Burger at the A&W or pictures that vegans took of a sign that was posted at A&W saying, I'm sorry that we've sold out of Beyond Burgers. Oh, wow. And this was from Hawaii and all over the U.S. and all over Canada.
They have to ship them in.
Yeah. By the way, the Beyond Burger, before it even came into A&W, it was selling out of grocery stores as well. And the CEO of Beyond Burger said, I'm not going to sell this to grocery stores unless they agreed to put it in the meat section. And this is strategy because they want the meat eaters to go, okay, there's an alternative.
Right.
And they couldn't keep them in the stores. Wow. They kept selling out. They can't keep up with demand. They have to increase production of Beyond Burger beyond what they're able to do right now.
It's so realistic that it bleeds. But it's beet juice.
Yeah.
Beet juice.
It's
healthy.
Beet juice. Yeah. So let's move on, because I want to chat about something that's coming up in a couple of weeks that we are hosting here at Animal Voices along with Liberation BC. You may be familiar with Earthling Ed. He is probably one of the most well-known vegan activists in the whole world. He hails from the UK, and he's been doing a tour around North America. I've had the good fortune to actually run into him a couple times these past few months at different conferences, and he's now making his way. He is in Canada right now, and he'll be at the Vegetoria Fest this weekend in Victoria. Is that this weekend?
Next weekend.
Yeah, next
weekend.
21st. Next weekend, yeah. Sorry. And that's on the 21st. And then he's heading to Vancouver the day after that, and he'll be here with us for almost a full week, and there'll be various vegan outreach activities. And one of them that's going to be happening is a film screening. He has a film that he narrated. It came out last year. It's called The Land of Hope and Glory. And what that was, it was a response to everyone who had seen Earthlings, which came out, Jen, as you had mentioned, it came out in 2008, right? And and we always tell people to watch Earthlings to become vegan, because it tells about all the different atrocities of what we do to animals, right? But apparently the response in the UK was, well, that doesn't happen here. So that's not true. So I've seen this film, The Land of Hope and Glory. It's a wonderful 45-minute documentary. You can watch it for free on YouTube. But on Tuesday, July the 24th, we're hosting a film screening of this where you can watch it and then see a talk live with Earthling Ed. He's going to be here. And what I like about him is that he answers the most, he'll answer every possible question that you would ever have on veganism. Do plants have feelings? Or what about sustainability issues? What about grass-fed and everything such as that? But he also, what I really like about him is he's very accessible. He does a lot of outreach with the public. You'll see him on YouTube. He has many YouTube videos and on Facebook as well, where he is going to the public and asking questions to make them think about their food choices and why it's okay maybe to eat one animal but not another in their mind. And that's called cognitive dissonance, by the way. And right now I just want to play a clip to illustrate that, and we'll chat about that after.
If an alien life form came down from space and they said that they wanted to eat you, what would you say to them to make them not do it?
I'm not edible.
I would persuade them to eat someone larger in size.
What if I say I'm part of their species? Would they eat themselves, or are they cannibal?
Well, no, I mean, like, let's say they're completely convinced and they want you to plead on an emotional level. They want you to plead, like, from the heart and dig deep. What would you say, like, you know, I'm a human being, I want to live, you know, I have dreams and aspirations, maybe you have a family, something like that?
Yeah, I'll probably, they probably wouldn't care, honestly. But, yeah, I'll tell them, like, look, I just spent this much time. I got to, you know, I got to experience life. I got to do this. Come back in probably about 10, 15, maybe 20 or 30 more years and then see me. Come find me then.
So, I mean, like, I feel like if we're put in a situation, the thing we'd want to do is be like, look, I have a family, you know, look, I'm alive, look, I'm conscious, I'm sentient, I'm all of these things, right? And I don't want to die. That's what it boils down to. So let's apply that. Let's apply that, right? And let's apply it to a situation where it's not aliens, it's now real life. And we're the aliens, and non-human animals are the humans, right? Do you think that the animals that we eat also want to live in the same way that we would if we were in that situation?
No doubt about it.
No doubt about it. Okay.
That's why we're vegans and vegetarians and Presbyterians.
Right. All right, you done asked all the wrong questions. We got to start talking.
Yeah, I'm vegan. So you are vegan?
Yeah.
Yeah? Well done. What made you go vegan?
You just said all the stuff.
Yeah.
And now we're the aliens, right? And now the victims are no longer humans, but they're non-human animals. Do you think that they want to live in the same way that we do if you know, when we're the oppressor?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they do. Yeah.
And do you think if they could maybe speak our language, they'd say the same things that we would to those aliens?
I agree.
That's great. Do they, like us, feel pain and have the ability to suffer? Are they conscious and alive?
Yes.
And do you think that, like yourself, in that situation, do you think the animals would like to live?
Yeah.
And what justification do you use to eat them?
What justification do I use to eat the animals?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not personally inside the butcher and stuff, but like...
But you pay for it to happen, is that right?
I'm sorry.
Do you pay for them to be killed though, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Like when we buy like chicken or, you know, a cow, whatever it is, because we buy the steak or the chicken breast, we're paying for them to be killed, right?
Yeah, we really are, yeah.
And how do we morally justify that?
I really don't know. Probably saying that they're the only thing that offer the nutrients that we need, but really it's not.
So can we live without them, do you think?
Absolutely. It's people that live without them every day.
Right.
So what I like about that clip and what I love about Earthling Ed and what he always does, like I said, is he really tries to find common ground with just everyday people. And I know, Jen, you do a lot of vegan outreach in the same manner. You might not be Earthling Ed, but you're Earthling Jen, and you're doing your work in Vancouver. And I'm wondering, this cognitive dissonance that we see that is shown online so that it's really brought out there and exposed, you must see that on a daily basis, pretty much.
I lack his patience. I need to be like him. Sometimes I just get really mad. I get so sick of it. But the last event I was at, somebody said, "What are you doing about human suffering?" And I feel like saying, I dedicate all of my free time to saving animals. What are you doing about anything? and then I have to go into the talk about how when we consume animal products, we are contributing to human suffering, because if you think of all the grain that we grow to feed animals, we could solve world starvation right there by giving those people that grain. And then they'll go back to, you know, wars going on around the world. And what am I doing about it? And I'm just thinking, what can we do about it? I mean, let's be realistic here. Every time we eat a meal, we have an opportunity to make a positive change. And you can still fight for humans while you do that. So stop with the excuses. Tom, you had a story that you shared before we started the show today.
Yeah, I spent some time working in Burlington, Ontario, on Harvester Road, right across from the Maple Leaf slaughterhouse. And my door in the summertime would be open because of the heat in the office. It needed air moving through the office. So my door would be open. I could hear the trucks, the trucks loaded full of pigs coming, you know, two, maybe three blocks away. And you can hear them squealing like babies. And so to me, what it represented was the fact that they're aware, they're satiated, they're aware of the fact that they're about to be slaughtered. So they're crying.
Just like a baby babies.
Just like a baby would cry.
Yeah, animals feel fear, for sure.
I actually spent two nights at a pig slaughterhouse these last couple weeks bearing witness to that. And we're going to have more information about what that involves in one of our later interviews today. And more on that later. But I want to say, too, that just regarding Earthling Ed, I feel like he can be very inspiring to learn how to speak to others. Jen, I don't know how you have gained your voice and all the, you know, I remember at the beginning of my veganism, I used to think I don't have all the answers to all the questions that will come. You know, if I'm leafleting in the streets, what if people ask me this and I don't know the answer? And that was always a hesitation. This was many, many years ago, like 20 years ago, right? And I do have pretty much you know, I have a lot of the answers now because I educate myself. But my sister, who wants to learn how to speak to people, she has actually gone on Earthling Ed's YouTube page and she started watching all of his videos. So I recommend that if you want to learn how to respond to people and just be inspired and motivated to act for animals. And he's going to, I really feel like his presence here in Vancouver, his talk, he has a really motivating, inspirational talk that he gives, and he's going to answer all the questions. We'll have more on that later. But yeah, Jen, how have you acquired your information over the years? And it hasn't been that many years, so that you're so articulate and you know all the answers.
Well, what really helped me, I felt just like you did, Allison. And I felt like I was doing the animals a disservice if I didn't have the answer.
Right.
VeganSidekick.com, everybody. Check it out. It is all you need. It is every excuse you hear from people and a succinct answer that makes so much sense. And there's no argument to the answer. It's just absolutely perfect. But yes, do the animals a favor and learn what you can. And if you don't know, say, can I get back to you on that? Don't let that person feel like, haha, I won. The activist right. doesn't have the answer. Therefore, animal cruelty is okay, because animal cruelty is never okay. And in our modern society, living in a city like Vancouver, there's really no excuse, right?
Right. And that's the thing with Earthling Ed is it is inspirational to watch him because he has all the answers. So if you watch what he says and sort of, you know, recognize his demeanor and how he's finding common ground with people and how he's relating to people, I really think that's a good example of how you listeners can go out there into the world and present yourself to people, to persuade people and to teach people on how to live a more compassionate lifestyle. And it's really just about having conversations. He was just out there on Hollywood Boulevard on that video I just played, and he's just having chats with people. And Jen, you do that all the time because I see you. And
everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, and just be more, I guess, learn from this and be more open to having just conversations with people in the grocery store, on the street, on the bus, at the A&W, like I did last night, anywhere. Mm-hmm.
And you can all add me on Facebook, Jen Dobell. I'll help anyone learn how to be a better activist and bring you out to some events where you can just watch and learn for the first little while. It's really interesting.
So let's go to South Korea. The dog meat industry has, last month, the South Korean court ruled that slaughtering dogs for meat is inherently cruel and illegal. And so now they need a response from the president. So the president, I guess, needs to make a decision on this. So there is a petition, which I have been told will be put up on our Facebook page.
Yes, just send it to me and I'll post it up. I can do that during the show.
Great. So we'd like you to sign it if you can. It takes two clicks. And the president needs to look at any petition that has more than 200,000 signatures. So they're trying to get even more than that. And I just want to remind everybody, yesterday I was out and about and I heard a dog barking in a car, and it was hot. It was the temperature on my car said 32 degrees.
Oh, wow.
So the car was in the sun and the dog was barking because his person was leaving the car. Mm-hmm. So I called across and I said, hey, you know, your car's in the full sun. It's not going to take long it's going to take 5 minutes for that to heat up. And he said, oh, yeah, it's fine, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, I waited. He came back in 3 minutes. I timed him.
Were the windows all up?
The window was down a little bit, but that doesn't really make very
that
much difference
make much
at
difference,
all.
No.
So in 10 minutes, the car can go from 30 degrees to 40 degrees, which can actually do permanent damage.
Yeah. Yeah, so everyone, take a detour through parking lots any opportunity you can in the summertime and call the SPCA as well as the police when you see that happening, please.
So tomorrow, there's these are events around Vancouver. For tomorrow, there's a direct action everywhere. Vancouver is going out to the Rifle Bird Sanctuary in Delta, British Columbia at 10 o'clock till 2 o'clock just to help the animals out there a little bit. And it's an amazing place. If you've never been there, I fully recommend going out. There's also tomorrow at 1 o'clock in Surrey Chicken Save is meeting at 13542 73A Street.
Is that on Sunday? Those are usually on Sundays.
It's on 14th, so that's tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good job.
So that's at Sunrise Poultry, and there is an astounding 100,000 young chickens are slaughtered there every day. So they just go out, bear witness, and try to talk to people on the street.
So, and then we have our Vancouver Chicken Save in the morning from 9 till 11 a.m. That's why I was wondering. So they're both on the same day, different
right.
times,
yeah,
right?
They are, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think it used to be on Sunday, but...
Yeah, so you can come to bear witness in Vancouver as well at Commercial and Hastings at the slaughterhouse there.
And July 16th, Vancouver Vegan Drinks again at the Black Lodge on Broadway in, on Broadway East in Vancouver. That's at 6:30 to 9:30. And on July 21st at 11 to, which, and 11 to 4, and then also on July 22nd from 11 to 4, there's open house at Critter Care Wildlife Society, which is in Langley. And Critter Care is the actually the only facility in BC specializing in the care of all of BC's mammals and one of only four bear rehab facilities in the province. So they're having their open house, so you can check that out. And of course, next Saturday, Vancouver Island Vegan Association presents Vegetoria. So check it out on their website.
What about Earthling Ed?
Earthling
Let's
Ed.
Talk about that.
Let's talk about that. So Earthling Ed is going to be holding a Land of Hope and Glory screening of the film and also a talk afterwards on July 24th from 6:30 to 9 in room C300, and that's at the UBC Robson Square.
So I encourage everyone to go to Facebook. You can also find out more information about this at animalvoices.org. We are co-hosting with Liberation BC. For every non-vegan that comes, they will get a raffle ticket for three gift baskets that are worth $400 each.
Wow.
So that's incentive. Come if you're non-vegan. If you're a vegan, bring a non-vegan friend and you get a ticket as well for every non-vegan you bring. So that's all.
You are listening to Animal Voices on Vancouver's Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM CFRO. 100% listener-sponsored radio broadcasting live from the east side on unceded Coast Salish territories.
I remember when I was in elementary school, there was the ever-present dairy industry at our fundraising events and our sports days. There was always free milk being handed out, which I thought was so strange.
The milk thing run.
The last thing I would be craving after running around is mucousy thick milk, but there they were pushing their product. So I reached out to Vancouver-based animal rights lawyer Anna Pippis. She's the director of Farmed Animal Advocacy for Animal Justice, and she's here today speaking to us about how this is still going on in school. And even in my doctor's office, there's stacks of brochures from the dairy and egg industry. So let's hear that interview now.
Welcome to the show, Anna. Thanks for being on again.
Thanks for having me back.
So ever since I was a child in kindergarten, I can recall the dairy industry sponsored and McDonald's sponsored sporting events in the public schooling system. And recently, I was telling you, an acquaintance of mine mentioned that her child's summer camp was sponsored by Dairyland, and she didn't know this until she brought him there for the first day. He was forced to wear this green camp shirt with Dairyland logo on it, despite him asking not to, because he's a vegan child, and he has this belief system where he doesn't want to advertise. So I'm genuinely surprised that this is still happening. In this day and age, we still see corporations so easily obtaining inappropriate sponsorships and advertising directed at children. So from a legal standpoint, can anything be done to address this?
Yeah, this is really challenging, and this definitely affects me in more than one way, because as a lawyer who appreciates the rule of law and freedom, this troubles me. But also as a parent, this is it's very close to home, because I am very aware of how insidious this type of marketing can be, how it's all directed at children, and how it can be very difficult to get away from it. It's challenging because we don't have a lot of real legal recourses. In BC, it's not clear that we have a protected right to be free from discrimination as somebody with an ethical belief like veganism or any other strongly held ethical belief system. And so really, it's a matter of trying to change policies. students. Now, I think that all school boards should refuse to accept corporate marketing sponsorship, swag, you know, that type of thing from any commercial products. The problem with dairy is that it has done such a great job of ingratiating itself to the public and to public bodies that it's not seen as a commercial product, it's seen as a public good. Well, all children need to drink milk to get their calcium and their, you know, the vitamin D that's fortified in milk. And so so accepting these sponsorships is actually good for the children. That's how it's seen. And so that's what needs to change. I think when we've started to understand that dairy is not a necessary part of the human diet and that it may even be unhealthy, that that we'll start to see these dairy sponsorships for what they are. It's as ridiculous as allowing Coca-Cola or, as you said, McDonald's to sponsor these sporting events for children. It's really letting them get their tentacles into children from a young age, and it's schools that are enabling it. As a parent, that really bothers me.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of you being a parent, you've got two boys. How old are they now?
They're 5 and almost 3 later this month.
And you, obviously, you're raising them vegan. So what do you give them to get, just for people who are listening who may not understand where else they can get their calcium and their vitamin D, where do your kids get that from?
Yeah, so my kids were both breastfed for several years, which is exactly what's recommended by the World Health Organization and Health Canada. It's recommended to breastfeed children to age 2 and beyond, if possible. And so that's exactly what I did, which is fortified by vitamin D, which all breastfed children, vegan or not, need. And then from there, they eat a really healthy diet. I am not just vegan. For the animals, I'm also plant-based. Healthy, nutritious food is important to me, and it's important to me to feed my family. So I think it's our responsibility as parents to teach our children healthy eating habits. So they eat a huge variety of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes. And that's the basis of their diet. So a typical breakfast might be oatmeal with chia seeds, hemp seeds, some maple syrup, and then some type of fruit like blueberries, or we'll have apple cinnamon oatmeal. A typical, you know, lunch or dinner, which is often kind of the same, might be something simple for lunch, like toast with hummus and tomatoes and fruit on the side. And then dinner is things like whole grain pasta with vegetables, stir fry with vegetables and tofu, black bean tacos with vegetables, everything with vegetables, rice bowls. My kids love rice bowls. So last night they had brown rice, broccoli, hummus, hemp seeds, and some cabbage, raw cabbage dressed with a really simple dressing. My 2-year-old and my 5-year-old both ate that.
That's amazing. And when you raise children from a young age eating healthy foods, they are probably better off or more likely to be eating them without complaint, right?
That's exactly right. So they become used to it. They see it as being normal. That's the food that's available to them, so that's what they eat. And also we increasingly are starting to understand that long-term health and longevity and disease later in life is determined by how we eat in early childhood. I mean, not exclusively determined, but that's how far it goes back. So although, you know, it's never too late to become a healthier eater, what we feed our children matters. It's not like we can create children out of chicken nuggets and mac and cheese and then expect them later in life to just, you know, become perfectly healthy and to avoid all of those lifestyle diseases that we're seeing associated with these diets.
Mm-hmm. Well, just getting back to inappropriate advertising placement, when I was last at my doctor's office, I found piles of these information envelopes advertising the alleged health benefits of eggs. Thankfully, I always go to the doctor with a purse full of vegan leaflets, and I just quickly made a replacement. But I know that in the U.S. it's illegal to promote eggs as healthy or safe. I'm not sure about here in Canada, but regardless, we know that eggs are very high in cholesterol, and it's not recommended to have even one per day. So how is it legal for the egg industry to be promoting their product in doctors' offices of all places?
So in Canada, it's not illegal to label eggs as nutritious or healthy. In the U.S., the issue is that you can't call foods nutritious if they contain a certain amount of saturated fat, I believe. And eggs have a huge amount of saturated fat. They're eggs. They're designed to be nutrition bombs for their little babies, and little babies need saturated fat and cholesterol. So that's what eggs are. in Canada, we don't have that restriction on labeling foods with saturated fat with the term nutritious. So the term nutritious in Canada can be applied to a food that contains a nutrient on the nutrient panel. So, and then whether it's an excellent source or a good source or whatever is determined by how much of that nutrient is in it. So nutritious is contains a nutrient, a recognized nutrient, which is, you know, not exactly what most people think of when they think nutritious. They think of nutritious as being a whole package, a holistic package, not just, hey, this bacon is a nutritious source of protein. So I think that it can be very misleading for consumers and confusing. And then the term healthy, it just means you can label something healthy if it complies with Canada's food guide. So that, again, is a very broad scope that can include many, many foods that some people just would not consider to be part of a healthy diet, you know, like, again, like bacon.
Mm-hmm. Well, Animal Justice recently took on a campaign to stop the promotion of dairy products by using ads sponsored by the Dairy Farmers of Canada, which were crafted to appear as public health announcements by several health organizations, including the Heart and Stroke Foundation, Osteoporosis Canada, and Colorectal Cancer Association of Canada. I saw these big ads on bus stops, and I remember contacting you about that and just saying, how is this legal? So tell us about Animal Justice's intervention in this.
Yeah, how is this legal? Such a great question. Yeah, so those ads were, the Dairy Farmers of Canada had partnered with the Heart and Stroke Foundation, Osteoporosis Canada, and I think the Colorectal Association. They had partnered with these health organizations to promote how dairy products can, you know, respectively prevent heart disease, colorectal cancer, and osteoporosis. But the problem is they didn't make health claims that seemed like, hey, this is an ad for dairy. It really seemed like it was an ad, like a public service announcement from these health agencies, these trusted health agencies saying, hey, Canadians, you're not getting enough dairy. You got to get your dairy to avoid these health problems that we're with. And this is sort of just another example. It's not the first time they've done this. And this is why dairy is so ingrained in our culture. The dairy industry spends, it has huge advertising, marketing, and lobbying budget. It spends tens of millions of dollars every year in Canada just on this type of thing, marketing. And it has done that for many, many years. And when dairy was really entrenched in our culture and we were really ethnocentric, and, you know, for white people, sure, dairy is a part of our diet. For Chinese people, dairy was never a part of their diet. So, you know, for them, we were finding like, oh my gosh, all these Chinese kids in schools are deficient in calcium and dairy. Well, it's because it wasn't a part of their traditional diets. But we didn't care about that, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, whatever, years ago. And another thing is that we didn't have the internet, we didn't have social media, so people couldn't really find this information on their own. And because dairy had been so entrenched, like you said, in doctors' offices, in the food guide, so everyone, and even with health organizations, where would you go for health information? They're going to tell you to eat dairy. So everyone where you could get information from was really, had been essentially brainwashed, I guess you could say, by the dairy industry's really clever marketing campaigns. I mean, they've won awards for their marketing campaigns. They are really good. So now we're at the point where we have an entire culture, entire society that has been steeped from childhood in dairy marketing. And it's really hard to undo some of these beliefs. And that's why I think we see exceptions. We see a wide berth for the dairy industry, allowing them to market in a way that we would just never tolerate if it were some other product. We would recognize it for what it is. We, you know, if it were the oil and gas industry, we'd say, this is ridiculous. They shouldn't be allowed to market their harmful product in this way. This is totally misleading. This is, you know, really harmful. We would be able to see that. But as it is, because there's such a bias towards, well, everyone needs to get, you know, their daily serving of like cheese, it's seen as sort of being okay. So anyways, I digress. The complaint that we put forward to federal authorities was to say, you know, this is false advertising. This is misleading. We have laws that prohibit misleading advertising. And we asked the Competition Bureau in particular to look into the federal laws that prevent this type of thing. And they opened an investigation and they spent some time looking into it, but ultimately they decided not to pursue the inquiry. So we're sort of back to where we started from, unfortunately. I hope that we got some good educational value at least out of it and some good publicity out of it. And we are starting to chip away. I think that each time we try to send in a false advertising complaint and hold these agencies to account, we're chipping away at the paradigm and we're making it more and more likely that they're going to start to see the problems in these areas.
What can the average person like me, who's not a lawyer, do next time we see these kinds of false advertising?
Well, actually, anybody can complain to the Advertising Standards Council, the ASC, Advertising Standards. That is where anytime anyone sees some sort of marketing material or ad campaign that is questionable, they should report it. And the ASC doesn't actually receive complaints, like organized complaints from organizations. So it's best for individuals to put it in. So always complain to the ASC. It's really easy to do. It's designed for the average person. You can go to their website and put in complaints and do it, because the industry is doing it about our vegan billboards and giving me a lot of extra work to do to write responses to them. So, anytime you see, you're in a supermarket and you see, eggs labeled, there's like a beautiful green pasture on the egg that you know those chickens will never see, complain about it. And the other authority that people can complain to is a provincial authority, also really accessible. It's the Consumer Protection Agencies provincially. They also are designed to be very easy for consumers to use. So that's another place that people can go anytime they see some sort of marketing that seems egregious to them, go and complain.
You've got me so excited to go into a grocery store soon and start taking photos of all the packaging, because as you know, Anna, and as many of our listeners know, prior to 4 years ago when I became vegan, I was that person at Whole Foods buying those humane lies. I was spending extra money on the packages of animal flesh and secretions that I thought were treated humanely. And I want my money back, and I want these companies in trouble.
Exactly. I know. It's a huge problem, and so many people think that. And the fact is, the industry has used this marketing because it works. And so that's why we need agencies to prevent companies from doing this type of marketing. The problem is that so far we've seen very little appetite, at least from federal authorities, to actually crack down on that. It's just not an enforcement priority for them. They just don't care. So it is really up to us to make a lot of noise about it. And one avenue that we at Animal Justice, I think, are going to try to exploit a little more is more of the provincial authorities. I think there's a lot of potential there, and we, really just need to make as much noise as possible, because the fact is, laws are only enforced in response to what the public cares about. And so if we can communicate that this is something that's really important to us, enforcement agencies will start to take more notice of it and take it more seriously. That's just the way that sort of democracy marches forward, for better or for worse.
Well, speaking of that, Canada Goose, which I hate, is a clothing brand, for those who don't know, that uses coyote fur around the hoods of their jackets, and the jackets are stuffed with the feathers of tortured birds. They're opening a store here in Vancouver, a great big store, next winter, and you, with Animal Justice, have some involvement in a complaint about their false advertising. Can you touch on that a little bit for those who don't know about this?
Sure. So I deal mostly with farmed animal issues, so I wasn't directly involved with the Canada Goose complaint. Let me just give you the high level overview, because it's the same kind of thing as the dairy complaints. It's Canada Goose saying, hey, we've got this really humane product. We treat animals humanely. Humane, humane, humane. Humane is a priority for us. This is what they all say. But then when you actually go and look at it, it's really quite appalling. And most average consumers would not actually find it humane. And in fact, that's a campaign that we did. We went up to people on the street and we said, hey, is it, look at this, or we just described it in very sort of like clinical terms and said, do you think this is humane? Like, what do you think? Tell me what you think of is humane. And, consumers across the board, of course, think of humane as being something very, very different than what the industry thinks it is. So Canada Goose is saying that their, trapping standards are humane, when in reality, trapping is incredibly inhumane. It's not humane to capture, indiscriminately wild animals and capture them by a body part and leave them there until the trapper can come and kill them some days later. And you know, we can sort of test this by trying it on ourselves. If our dog were to get caught in one of these traps, which happens sometimes, would we consider it humane, or would we say, no, that's ridiculous, there's no, this is totally inhumane, especially if the purpose is to add a frivolous trim on a jacket that nobody even needs, because everyone nowadays already has a freaking jacket. Like, it's just consumerism, mm-hmm. and it's thinly veiled, and it's misleading. And Canada Goose and everybody who uses the word humane is able to get away with saying it and using real double talk with the words that they're using and how they use language.
Mm-hmm. So we all basically need to learn to scratch a little more beneath the surface when we're buying things that are labeled incorrectly.
I mean, I think that's just the general lesson, is that companies have, a lot of companies, you know, so there are some mission-driven companies, but most companies have zero interest in doing anything ethical and most interest in creating profits and in selling things to you. And so we do need to be aware of consumers, of how we're spending our money, because the way we spend our money is our vote for how, you know, what kind of world we want.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Anna. Before we wrap up here, I just want to give you an opportunity to let our listeners know where they can find out more about you and animal justice and even your easy animal-free Instagram and Facebook pages for people who are busy and want to go to a plant-based lifestyle and they just don't have time to find the recipes.
Yeah. Yes, my specialty. Well, first of all, people can go to animaljustice.ca and sign up for our mailing list. That's how you can stay informed of what we're up to and any action items, things that you can do to help, that we make it really easy for people. So sign up so you can stay informed. I also, as you mentioned, have my sort of personal project of Easy Animal Free, which is just me sharing the really simple, nutritious meals I put together. I don't have a ton of time, and I don't like spending my limited time creating elaborate meals, so I just show, you know, very simple, family-friendly, plant-based meal ideas, and I cook a lot in my stories on Instagram, so you can really see the step-by-step. So if you have no idea, you know, you're new to plant-based eating, and you're like, what do I put instead of the meat? Just a pile of beans? I can help you. Just go to instagram.com/easyanimalfree, and there's lots of information there. And then, yeah, just other stuff is I have my website where I just throw everything else that I want to rant about or share information about, annapippis.info. I have a blog there and some recipes and other information for activists about helping animals and stuff like that. So, yeah, lots of – I'm pretty easy to find.
That's great. And that's Anna Pippus, P-I-P-P-U-S, everybody.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, well, thanks so much. We've had you on so many times. You're just our go-to lawyer in Vancouver. You have so much information to offer, and I wish I met you years ago when I was still buying that humane lie.
Oh, I know. I wish. It's so frustrating, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but my life has totally changed since taking my head out of the sand and becoming involved in activism and meeting wonderful people like you. So everybody listening, please don't wait. Make that change now. Your life will completely transform for the better.
Yeah, 100%. When you live in alignment with your values, it feels so good. It feels so much better than any bite of animal feeds could ever taste.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being on the show. We'll talk to you soon, Anna.
Okay, Jen. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
That was Vancouver-based animal rights lawyer Anna Pippus from Animal Justice. And if you want more tips that she has on how to document and report animal cruelty, as well as report false advertising, you can go to our website, animalvoices.org. We've got those tips on there for you.
The Vancouver Folk Music Festival will be at Jericho Beach Park in Kitsilano from July 13th to 15th. This year's festival features the unique and uplifting sounds of the BC collective Gamelon Bike Bike. Using repurposed bike parts, this creative crew builds their own one-of-a-kind instruments. The mystical sounds of traditional Indonesian spiritual music will be recreated for you all at the 2018 Vancouver Folk Music Festival. Enjoy the sun and sounds at Jericho Beach Park in Kitsilano from July 13th to 15th.
Today we're speaking with an animal rights activist from Kamloops who recently witnessed something very traumatic while on a road trip. Hi, Kira. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Jen. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us what happened?
Yeah. So last night I decided to follow with my partner, a live transport truck carrying pigs. we pulled over on the side of the road, and we asked the driver if we could have a few moments with these animals before it continued on to the slaughterhouse where these pigs were destined. And during those 4 minutes, I took out my phone, and I captured some footage, which has been shared online, just to show what the conditions that these pigs are experiencing while they're in transport. One particular pig actually was underneath another pig, and the conditions that these pigs are experiencing in the truck, they're all exhausted and dehydrated. Some of them were unresponsive. Some of them were crying. And this one pig that was being stepped on, like another pig had his hoof right in his eye, and he was really struggling to breathe. I was quite concerned that that pig wouldn't make it all the way to where that destination was. And it was honestly very upsetting to see and to think that this is a normal standard practice. But it looked so overcrowded that we decided that we had to take some sort of action about that.
And so what action did you take?
So we actually went and filed a report and complaint with the CFIA, as well as the Alberta SPCA, since the truck itself actually had an Albertan license plate, and we were unsure if it was loaded in BC or Alberta. It ended up being that the ASPCA forwarded the email to the BC SPCA, so now both the CFIA and the BC SPCA are investigating the incident, which is good, but the laws themselves are very weak in Canada for transport.
And can you elaborate a little bit on that when it comes to the animal agriculture industry, farmed animals transport?
Yes. So for pigs, specifically, the current standard is that they can be transported up to 36 hours without food, water, or rest. However, for comparison, in the European Union, they use 8 hours.
That's the maximum, 8 hours.
8 hours in comparison to our current 36. Mm-hmm. They are looking at the end of the year to finalize a revised law to change it to 28 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But if the truck had been loaded in Alberta, and we also discovered earlier today from the CFIA that the final destination was a facility in Langley. If it had been loaded from any sort of major city in Alberta, that the animals could have been traveling for up to 15 or 20 hours.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think about when I have a plane ride that's over 5 hours long, I can't stand it because I'm in this tiny seat and I can't really get up and move around very much. But it's nothing compared to an animal that's in the back of a truck that is not temperature controlled in all weather conditions across Canada every season of the year. It could be freezing cold. It could be really hot. And like you said, they were all foaming from the mouth and dehydrated with no water.
Exactly, yeah. Kamloops yesterday hit about 32 degrees Celsius.
Yeah.
And inside of those trucks, they're metal. They have these holes for air and crosswind or whatever, you know, you want a kind of reason that's ethical and makes it humane. But the reality is that the temperatures experienced inside these trucks are going to be drastically hotter because it's just going to be increased from the body heat. And if the truck is overcrowded, there's obviously more body heat as well as a greenhouse effect from.
And imagine all of those animals sliding around in their own urine and feces for 36 hours on these floors that are slippery as the truck is turning corners. And you mentioned that image of the pig standing on the other pig's eye. And I thought, imagine the truck taking corners and that pig is just laying on the ground with another pig's foot on its eye the whole way.
Exactly. Yeah. And even when they were stopped, I could see that many of the pigs were like just so weak and they were just trying to clamber to move around, just trying to get comfortable. Yeah. Many of them were laying on top of each other and they had no room.
Yeah, it was really hard to watch. I was crying, and thank you so much for doing that. This is going viral as we speak, and
this will hopefully encourage people to go vegan. And you're vegan and I'm vegan and you and I do outreach together. And what's the message we're always telling people, Kira, that that there's no humane way to do it, right? This isn't just one example.
Exactly. There's no such thing as ethical or humane meat. In fact, having an animal live out the quote-unquote best life that it possibly can, to have it end up spending its last few days and moments in these horrendous conditions, traveling for hours on end without food or water, and then ultimately being sent to the kill floor, which, if anybody has seen footage of a slaughterhouse, know just how absolutely terrifying that must be for those animals to experience, is almost portrayal to that animal for giving it a quote-unquote good life and having it trust you.
Yeah.
And there's just no humane or ethical way to kill someone who wants to live.
Yeah.
And I think people really need to understand that.
And the taste of bacon isn't worth what we saw in that video.
No, not at all. Not at all. Mm-hmm. There's many delicious plant-based alternatives to bacon or any sort of meat or dairy or egg product.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's all the time we have today, Kira, but I really can't thank you enough, and we need more people like you doing something like this to bring awareness to those who would never see inside a transport truck. What a unique opportunity, and hopefully people do take this as an opportunity to make a transformation in their lives. Thank you so much, Kira.
Thank you, Jen, for having me.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Jen, for that breaking news story. This just came about a couple days ago, and we were informed of this, and the Canadian Food Inspection Agency and BCSPCA will be investigating, so people will probably be seeing this on the mainstream media.
Great.
But this video, we have actually uploaded this raw video to our YouTube page, so you can see it there at Animal Voices Vancouver on YouTube, and there's also a link to it on our Facebook page at Animal Voices Vancouver. And I really implore people to look at this video footage that Kira and Roy took, and you can see for yourselves the suffering, and you can decide for yourselves if that is worth it for as you know you said before, it's like 2 minutes of pleasure, right?
Taste, pleasure, yeah. Taste, a pleasure. Life of suffering for 2 minutes of taste.
Yeah. So you have been listening to Animal Voices on 100.5 FM, CFRO in Vancouver, Canada. Please join us on our next show, Friday, July the 20th. It'll be a surprise. We here at Animal Voices, we want to connect with you online. You can listen to our past shows at animalvoices.org and find a lot of information there that we've spoken about. You can also subscribe to us via iTunes and leave us a friendly review there. Please stay in touch with us on our Facebook page. We do make a lot of posts on there about things that we've been talking about on the show. That's Animal Voices Vancouver. You can also send us your suggestions and comments about the show and any tips or ideas that you have either on Facebook or on email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. So to end the show today, we are going to be having a live song by Tom Coley, who is here in the studio with us. So Tom, can you tell us about the song and what you'll be playing?
The song is called Atlas and the Weight of the World. And I think it's pretty self-explanatory in the lyrics. It's a song about being responsible, you know, all of us being responsible for the world.
I think that's a great way to end this show. Great theme. Stay tuned for Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith. And thank you for tuning in to Animal Voices today. And remember to be kind to the animals.
To raise up the world, hold it steady in your hands. Above your head, beyond the clouds, and keep it there safe and sound. Oh, Atlas, and the weight of the world. Well, it's all come crashing down. Who will be left behind?
let you fall to the ground. The days of darkness fell, and people hurried underground. Above your head, beyond the clouds, keep it there safe and sound. Oh, Atlas, and the weight of the world, well, it's all come crashing down. Who will be left behind to pick you up now that you've fallen to the ground? Now that you've fallen to the ground. Now that you've fallen to the ground.